KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky, 45 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be clear to partly cloudy and windy today, the high of 61. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Reminder, a wind advisory is currently in effect until noon today for the far west and southwest counties in our listing area and for Cass and the rest of the counties until 6 this evening. Sustained winds of 30 miles per hour or higher, along with wind gusts approaching 45 miles per hour at times, will be common, creating especially potentially hazardous driving conditions for high-profile vehicles traveling on north-south roads. And in the news this morning, three bills that appeared speeding toward passage hit a dead end this week at the State House. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The bills would have raised the speed limits on Iowa's two-lane highways and on the interstates. Three-member subcommittees in the Iowa House approved those moves, but the bill did not have the votes to pass the 21-member House Transportation Committee. Representative Gary Werthen, a Republican from Storm Lake, says there was a fair amount of support for the bills initially, but most of it had evaporated by Wednesday.
Our representatives started hearing from the people out in the country. Democracy works. It's live and well.
Some legislators balked because of safety concerns. Experts say raising the speed limit leads to an increase in the frequency and severity of traffic accidents. Others weren't happy with the price tag for changing all those speed limit signs, arguing that's a poor use of the new money being raised from the recent 10-cent per gallon hike in the state gas tax. I'm O.K. Henderson.
The Cass County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported an Atlantic man was transported to the Cass County Hospital by a private vehicle Monday morning following a single vehicle accident on White Pole Road, southwest of Atlantic. Deputies responded to the scene at around 3 a.m. Monday. An investigation determined a 2001 Buick driven by 40-year-old Manuel Lopez of Atlantic was traveling southbound on White Pole Road when the car went out of control on the snow-covered road and hit a utility pole. A passenger in the car, 30-year-old Daniel Morales Reyes of Atlantic, was transported to the hospital by private vehicle. Damage to the vehicle was estimated at $8,000. The accident remains under investigation. An accident early Thursday morning in Fremont County resulted in one person being transported to the hospital. Sheriff's officials say a 2004 Chevy Impala driven by 68-year-old Linda Moyer of Riverton was traveling west on 250th Street near Riverton at around 9:30 a.m. When Moyer lost control of her car, she was passing another vehicle. The Impala crossed the center line of the road and entered the south ditch where it rolled twice before coming to rest on its top. Moyer was extricated from her car by witnesses to the crash and transported to the Grape Community Hospital in Hamburg by Riverton Rescue. The extent of her injuries was not immediately known. Riverton Fire and Rescue and Hamburg Fire and Rescue assisted the Fremont County Sheriff's Office in handling that call. An investigation into an incident at a bar in Fremont County last night resulted in the arrest of a man from Illinois. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office and deputies were called to the Wilds Bar in Bartlett at around 9:45 p.m. for a possible fight in progress. 29-year-old Austin M. Achenbach of Geneseo, Illinois, was subsequently taken into custody for domestic abuse assault. Achenbach was being held without bond in the Fremont County Jail while awaiting an appearance before the magistrate. And Fremont County deputies responded to a call in Sydney about an incident of criminal mischief in progress Thursday. After they arrived in the 200 block of Cass Street and spoke with 31-year-old Adam Matson of Sydney, deputies placed him under arrest. In the process, Matson allegedly assaulted a deputy who was charged with assault on a peace officer and interference with official acts. Matson was being held in the Fremont County Jail on a $2,300 cash bond. Red Oak police report the arrest of a Red Oak woman Thursday following a traffic stop. At around 12:40 p.m., officers conducted a traffic stop on the 200 block of Prospect Street, and after investigation, arrested the driver of the vehicle, 41-year-old Jill Leanne Schaefer of Red Oak, on a charge of OWI, drugged, first offense. Schaefer was taken to the Montgomery County Hospital and held on $1,000 cash bond. She was also cited for operating a vehicle without registration. The former police chief for an eastern Kansas town has been arrested in western Iowa on charges that include witness intimidation. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation said that Robert Butters, a former Osawatomie, Kansas police chief, was arrested Thursday and was being held on a $250,000 bond in Council Bluffs. Jail records show Butters being held without bond, however. He's due in court sometime today. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation says Butters was arrested on charges of aggravated intimidation of a witness, attempted interference with a law enforcement officer, and possession of a firearm while under the influence. The charges stem from a recent incident in the Osawatomie area. Butters had resigned earlier this year as police chief for that community. No other information was released on Thursday. Officials say the police chief of Denison was disciplined for lewd images that he created and that ended up on the department's shared computer drive. Former Denison police officer Ray Ohl said that Chief John Emsweiler had pictures of his staff on his computer and that Emsweiler would use editing software to, quote, put their heads on different stuff. City Attorney Derek Frank says information on the chief's computer somehow got onto the department's shared drive. Frank says the situation was investigated, the chief was disciplined, and the city considers the matter closed. He declined to elaborate, though, on what type of discipline was imposed. Elsewhere in the news, a Dallas company has canceled plans to build a nearly $31 rail car maintenance facility in Sioux City. Trinity Rail officials confirmed the bad news to city officials earlier this month when Trinity Rail announced the Sioux City expansion. In October of 2014, a surge in tanker cars transporting crude oil and ethanol had raised demand for the company's services. But demand for tankers has dropped sharply as global prices for crude oil collapsed. The 150,000-square-foot facility was supposed to create 250 new jobs, including 160 that would pay over $16 an hour. And that's why state officials approved tax credits for the project. Trinity Rail is a subsidiary of Trinity Industries, a Dallas, Texas-based conglomerate. A plane flying from Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Chicago had to make an emergency landing at the airport in Waterloo. An American Airlines Envoy flight carrying 26 passengers and three crew members landed safely in Waterloo after smoke was spotted in the cabin at around 1:15 p.m. Thursday. The plane was in the air for about 20 minutes before the emergency landing was announced. Passengers say they could smell smoke and the floor was very hot. The pilot did not tell passengers what the cause of the problem was. A backup plane from Chicago arrived at around 3 p.m. to resume the flight. An Eastern Iowa man has died after falling from a cell phone tower in Hamilton County. The Hamilton County Sheriff's Office said 28-year-old Stefan Waterman of Anamosa fell to his death while working at a construction site. The fall happened just before 5 p.m. Wednesday near Ellsworth. The death was under investigation. As many as 15 people have died in fires across Iowa during the first 6 weeks of this year, twice the statewide death compared to last year. Ron Humphrey, a spokesman for the state fire marshal's office, said bitter cold weather was a factor in many of the deadly blazes.
And that was the case in the Boxholm fire, where it was extremely cold, you know, so they were using extra heat sources in the house, which then led to the fire, which led to, you know, the firefighters out in that extreme cold. You know, it's hard on humans, it's hard on equipment. It's, you know, it was kind of the perfect storm there, or it was hard to fight that fire on everything involved.
Humphrey says smoke detectors were discovered in the rubble of nearly every fire, but most had no batteries or were otherwise not functioning.
It's kind of sad when you go into these fatalities and you see a smoke detector there that had a battery and you wonder, you know, would that made a difference? Or there was no smoke detectors in there. That can be very frustrating.
Humphrey says half the fatalities occurred in just two fires during January. Three people died in a home in Montrose in southeast Iowa, while a mother and her three children perished in a blaze in Boxholm just south of Fort Dodge. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.